Hi, thanks for tuning in to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott, speaking with someone who's suddenly become very relevant. It's the from the Maryland Department of Transportation, State Highway Administration, Charlie Gishler, to tell us about how the roads are going to be throughout this weekend, as we are expecting some potential snow. That four-letter S word that makes people really nervous. Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah, it's been like springtime so far, so we've been a little bit spoiled, and that should caution anybody that grew up in the state of Maryland that that's kind of a scary thing when you get some warm weather through Christmas and the early part of the new year. It means watch out for President's Day.
Exactly. And, you know, we record this show slightly in advance. So by this point, I should say we don't know whether the snow is already on the ground. It may still be on its way. But whichever it is, we're going to give you some information about how to navigate the roads or not navigate the roads, as the case may be, to be as safe as possible. The first thing I want to talk about is something that we talked about last year. It's an app with a neat acronym that you came up with. Can you tell me about STORM, first of all, what it stands for, and then what it does?
Sure. It's the Statewide Transportation Operations Resource Map. And basically, that's a fancy way for saying that all of our citizens and our customers can see where all of our winter equipment is. And I say winter equipment because it's not just for snow plows and the plow trains and that type of thing. It's for any vehicle that's going over 10 miles per hour. We set that so you don't get the ground clutter effect of people in the actual yards loading up, because that really has no relevance to the people on the actual road.
Right.
Not that that's just as important. You need those loaders and everything. It keeps the whole operation moving like a well-oiled machine. But it also shows you in the days advance when we do pre-treat the roads with the salt brine solution. You know, those streaks you see in the days before the storm. We really only have been able to do that one time this year. Because when a storm starts as rain mixture, we can't put it down. It'll just wash that material right down into the drainage system. So it has to be a perfect scenario to use that almost. There's a window and some criteria. You can't have it too cold because it's mostly water. But what that does, and again, with that storm map, you can find out where they're going to be. And on the day of a storm, you can find out, including the direction of travel, what roads that on the Maryland State Highway System were treated. So you can make smart decisions about travel. But that salt brine solution is something that we're really evolving with here. It started out as pre-treating, you know, and that helps not let that bonding of snow and ice from sticking. It turns it into kind of a slushy situation so we can get in there and just plow it off in some cases. But then we started pre-wetting the salt, the actual rock salt that comes out of the back of the hopper. What that does, now anybody that grew up 60s, 70s, 80s, even to the 90s, if you got behind a salt truck that was treating the roads, you would hear the bing, bang, bing, boom. You know,
watch out.
That's called the bounce and scatter effect. And what that was doing was bouncing off the roadway. So it wasn't really accomplishing its goal as efficient as it should be. So by interjecting right before it gets onto the spreader with salt brine onto the salt granules, it changes it into like a milkshake, like an oatmeal type of a consistency. So it kind of plops on the ground and stays there. And so that actually, in a way, helps us reduce our overall salt usage, which we're up to almost 50% in the last 5 years of reducing our overall salt usage. It keeps it on the ground in place on the lane instead of out into a drainage ditch.
And then don't you also have some sort of either sensors in the road or a way to read the road to see what the condition is and how badly it needs that treatment?
The Mobile Advanced Road Weather Information Sensor. It's called MARWIS. Now, last year you and I discussed, we have weather stations all across the state on the state highway system, of course, the numbered roads that we maintain. And this new system, we used to have something, we would call them hockey pucks. It was actually inside the pavement and looked like a hockey puck, a big hockey puck. These new sensors are non-invasive, which means we don't have to do any construction to put them in the lanes. It's aiming a infrared beam into the travel portion of the roadway. That is using 21st century technology. It's something that takes like meters, like 1,000 times per second, like readings. And it can tell you with pinpoint accuracy what type of precipitation is on the ground. Is it wet with rain? Is it snow covered? Is it ice covered? Is it dry? Is it treated? Is it like slush that's treated with salt? And of that, how deep is it? What's the relative humidity? What's the outside air temperature? And what's the pavement temperature? And what that can use, that computer then, if it detects that it's going to freeze up, it will start to activate our overhead message signs automatically without us touching them that says icy roads possible. And then our winter storm managers can go ahead, use that information, and target an area for treatment instead of a whole corridor when it might not need it. So again, salt reduction.
And this is just keeping the M.SHA and their storm management team as effective as possible, using the resources as efficiently as possible. And this is all a lot of prep that goes into making sure that you're ready to deal with the winter weather. Is there anything that people who either make a daily commute or maybe out on the road should be doing to prep for this weather, assuming that it's weather that they can go out in?
Yeah. So our first advice is to let, if you don't have to go out, obviously, let our crews go, stay home so our crews can get out there. The worst thing we can do is have a storm come at one of the rush hours and we get stuck in traffic with everybody else.
Right.
We're not able to treat the roads and it just piles up in front of you. Then you've got a whole set of problems there. So if you can stay home, but we understand there are people like yourselves have to come and come into work no matter what. There's all kinds of people that have to come to work all the time during a winter storm. So using that storm app and using the md511.maryland.gov app on our website, roads.maryland.gov. You can get both of them on there.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you any incidents, access to the traffic cameras. I'm sure you're used to that. You know,
yes.
It gives you any kind of a myriad of information. That on top of where the equipment has been, you can make an educated decision of where to go instead of having some unknown road that may not be treated yet. You know, of course, we only treat the numbered roads in Maryland, the state highway system. But
mm-hmm.
you can do that. And then it helps us to get out there and really effectively treat the roadways. And then, you know, of course, we're discussing, you know, whether you should actually be out there. Every year,
right.
you know, we see people, you know, and their vehicle might not be winter ready yet. Okay. It's been nice so far. Okay. I'm not going to lie.
It's been really nice.
Beautiful. But it's going to get cold eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's like this, I always, my gut tells me it's going to get those days where it's bitter, bitter cold.
You know,
where you're talking dead batteries and that type of thing. But you want to, first thing to do is make sure your vehicle tires are in good shape. They're not bald. That's not going to get you anywhere. That's not going to get you anywhere on a rain-covered roadway, let alone a snow-covered roadway. You're going to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you have good tread, adequate traction, and that it's inflated properly, because the difference of temperatures can make that air and that tire either contract or expand. So make sure it's where it should be. The second thing I tell people is the cooling system. When it gets really hot in the summer or really cold in the winter, that's what it can exploit, a cooling system. If you have a leak, a small leak in your radiator hose, that's a relatively easy and inexpensive fix to do it before you get on the roadway. You
mm-hmm.
get on the roadway and you run out of coolant, you're done. You're stuck in the lane. Your motor has just expired. You're going to have a very expensive and extensive repair to make, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to come and get you out of the roadway. So.
And that is sort of going to what we had just finished talking about, which is that a lot of this isn't just about convenience for you. This is about the ability for the plows and the salt trucks and other machinery to get out and clear the roads for everybody else. As important as it may seem to get where you're going, it's not helping anybody if you end up stuck on the middle of 695 having to be hauled off to the side.
And I got to tell you about that, too. That's one of the most dangerous places that you can ever possibly be, on the side of a highway like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hopefully none of your listeners here have been stranded on the side of the highway. Working in this industry, I've done interviews and things on the side of the highway, went out with crews on the side of the highway.
Mm-hmm.
It is a scary place, especially now where people have a lot of distractions. Even though you're not supposed to do that behind a wheel, you obviously see people are still doing it.
Right.
We want you to stop doing that and pay attention.
But the reality of the situation is people do it, and you have to be ready for
it. It's a very, very dangerous place to be. If for some reason you do become disabled during a winter storm or even during the summer, if you're mm-hmm. in the travel portion, put your blinkers on. If you can make it, get as far off the road as you can, hopefully off the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, dial the #77 for the state police or 911 to come get you, to at least put some lights behind you to alert the other motorist. It's a very dangerous place to be. We've had an epidemic in the last year
mm-hmm.
of pedestrians being struck because they get out of their vehicle during a mechanical breakdown. And they get too close to the road and they get struck. And there's no contest between a person and a vehicle moving at 55 miles an hour.
Right.
So, you know, and then our CHART crews go out. They're the ones who go out and help rescue people and clear disabled vehicles and crashes and everything else. They have the amber lights now. So the enhanced move over law.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of our people get hit this year. Thankfully, mostly it's when they were out of their vehicle helping somebody and their vehicle got hit, or the attenuator truck got hit behind a construction zone.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see any kind of flashing light, that could be on a trash truck, recycle truck, police, fire, SHA truck or a tow operator, you have to move over into the next lane if you can. If you can't, please just slow down. Make sure your eyes are on the road and both hands on the wheel.
Right, but whenever possible, you want to give them that extra lane of space because if there are flashing lights, then that typically means that there's some sort of emergency
and
you may need more space to operate than just that single lane.
And it's always tragic. Every year we have somebody get hit and it's a bad one, you know. So we want to get that down to zero. We want to get down to zero of deaths anyway on the highway. That includes any kind of crashes, pedestrians, bicyclists, motorcyclists, anything. We're trying to get down to that driven towards zero.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. You are listening to Sunday Morning. I'm speaking with Charlie Gishler, the spokesperson from the Maryland Department of Transportation and State Highway Administration. We've been talking a lot about the preparation that's going on for the winter weather we have coming up, if not this weekend, then certainly within the next couple of months, as well as some of the things that you can do to prepare and be safe as this snow and other precipitation makes its way towards Maryland. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the construction projects that you have in progress. One of the things we typically do when you're in here is just talk about, regardless of what the weather may be, things that people can keep an eye out for. And last time I had you in, I believe, was before the start of summer. So I would imagine that a lot of projects have made some progress since then. I'd like to start, first of all, with the beltway in between 70 and down to 95 with the widening project going on. How's that going?
Well, that's still in the developmental stages right now. We're still developing plans and planning that whole thing out. And hopefully we'll have some news during the summer about that. There's some very innovative ways to try to manage that traffic, including ramp metering. I don't know if you and I discussed that in the past. That's something that's been tried and proven to be very beneficial throughout much of the United States, different DOTs. And basically what ramp metering is what causes congestion is merging traffic.
Right.
You get that conflict. You know, you got to let somebody on while somebody's getting off. If you can stop that traffic on the ramp, and I'm not talking about like a regular traffic signal, you sit there for 3 minutes. I'm talking very briefly, and you create these gaps, that's going to help move that traffic on the main line. So that's one of the innovative ways, and there are so many other ways, extra wide shoulders out there that were designed and made traffic bearing through the years with prior asset management planning, you know, years ago to know that there may be a need for this. So we have, if you go up near Owings Mills and it's 795 in the Beltway, you'll notice very, very wide areas that almost resemble a lane. Well, that's part of this, what goes into this. And the other big project we have coming up right now, because the other that what you're just discussed is so still being studied.
Potentially far in the future.
It's coming, you know, but it's still in the developmental stages. So they're trying to get some more ideas of what to do there, including that I-70 interchange as well.
Right.
You know, people are going to start to see the Putty Hill overpass that goes over 695. That's one of the 69 bridges that were identified back in 2015. It was already addressed in that some remedial stuff was done to it to keep it in a state where we can keep it maintained and reliable until we were able to replace it. That's going to start getting in the full gear coming up later on in 2020. And another big one is the Bedonia Road bridges, that the I-83 bridges that go over Bedonia Road. We already were well into that right now. Folks can watch it. If you go to roads.maryland.gov and click on chart or MD-511 and hit the cameras, you can watch the progress of that. There's a camera right there. That's probably getting to be about 47% complete, so you're going to start to see a lot of traffic shifts there. And then just general system preservation and asset management, you're going to start to see a lot of resurfacing projects coming about in the Baltimore-Hartford area, Carroll County, Howard County, and the whole DMA here.
And just to clarify for anyone who may not follow traffic news, you said 69 bridges identified back in 2015. They're identified for expansion, for updating. What exactly is it that they were identified for?
So back in 2015... Governor Hogan announced that he wanted to address these. At the time, it was 69, the number, structurally deficient bridges. Now, that's a scary-sounding term, but really, most of them were bridge decks that have been patched and patched and patched, and you just can't patch it anymore.
Right.
You know, we have one of the best bridge programs in the nation. Less than 3% of our bridges are considered poorly rated. We have one of the—and he grabbed that and our— MDOT went forward with it. It was a monumental, Herculean task to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them required maybe minor rehabilitation to get another 10 or 15 years through it. Some of them require complete replacements, like you're seeing over on 83 and Pedonia Road.
Right.
That's a replacement project. That's two bridges, technically.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was deficient and the other one was not. But, you know, they were both built at the same time.
Right.
So even if one was not deficient, it was built at the same time. It's going to be soon.
And it's kind of like rotating your tires, where you're rotating one of them, you're rotating all of them.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You don't want to have one bridge that's doing okay and the other one that's completely falling apart.
You know, some of the bridges required extensive rehabilitation, you know, but not replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Others total replacement, other minor rehab. We are doing a major rehabilitation job that I really want to help. I want your listeners to know it's in probably a core area at the Baltimore-Harford County line on U.S. 40 Pulaski Highway.
Right.
There are four bridges there within a half mile that go over the Little and Big Gunpowder Falls. We're well underway with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some extensive traffic shifts there as we move towards summer and go into the new phase. The way this works is we shift the traffic and then we demolished one half of the bridge, rebuild it back up again. Once that's built back up again, we'll shift traffic back to that again, the new section, and demolish the old section, and we repeat that process over and over. But we're doing four bridges over there, two of which were structurally deficient. The other two weren't, but again, they were built at the same time.
Right.
So we're using that asset management philosophy of while we're out there and minimizing the delays to the traveling public, let's do them all right now. That way we don't have to bother people for another 60 or 70 years.
Unless people be super concerned about, as you mentioned, the idea of demolishing a bridge that's currently in use. I remember I believe it was the bridge widening project between Carroll County and Baltimore County, which went on for a little while, but did a very good job of, MDOT did a very good job of managing the traffic flow, and they even had a neat truck that looked almost like putting down the concrete barriers, like it was zipping and unzipping the roadway.
That's what it was called. That project was an example of just innovation and modernization there. Anybody that travels on that Maryland 140 bridge that goes over to Liberty Reservoir and Patapsco River there knows that that's a very highly directional and busy bridge.
And it's one of the only ways to get from Carroll County to Baltimore County.
Exactly. You know, people are coming toward the Baltimore area from Carroll County and points west in the morning and coming back home in the afternoon. So using that philosophy and traffic analysis, we were able to use that zipper machine. I've never seen anything like it, but it was the coolest thing, and it's used all across the nation now. The contractor had this machine, and basically we would allow all the lanes in the morning to proceed. And then as we got into the afternoon, that zipper machine would come and put the barrier and block one of the lanes that were for the morning traffic to allow all the afternoon traffic to have all the lanes. And we were able to do that and expedite that bridge project. Now you got a nice, great, bridge surface to drive on.
And managing traffic flow really is, such a big part, at least from my experience, of keeping things running smoothly. You were talking earlier about some of the technology on ramps to make sure that traffic is merging correctly. A lot of the time, you'll see on the Beltway traffic slowing down for what seems to be no particular reason, where you assume there's an accident, and then you get further up, and you're like, "What? Where was the
merging
delay?"
Merging traffic is one of the biggest things. We call it a traffic wave or a traffic merge. You see that right up there on that shared designation of I-83 and 695 between the JFX and 83. You have people coming off wanting to get on the Beltway, and you have other people trying to get on the Jones Falls Expressway. So that merging traffic tends to slow things up when people are coming. But, something else that we've been dealing with here are smart traffic signals.
Yeah.
We unveiled this a couple of years ago, and it's been working. Even if you're saving somebody 5 to 7 minutes, that's 5 to 7 minutes in your pocket right now.
Right.
You're not burning gas. You're getting home a little quicker. We've identified some corridors. There's, I think, 11 corridors that are in function right now and more on the way. We're constructing them, on Ritchie Highway as you go from basically Glen Burnie down toward Arnold, that whole area. That's notorious. There's so many different signals. And the way this technology works, it's almost using artificial intelligence.
Uh-huh.
It's constantly monitoring the traffic flows at all the intersections where there's traffic signals, and you have sensors, and they talk to one another, and that computer makes decisions, second decisions to make one of the cross streets maybe red to allow more of the through traffic go through. It's a smart traffic signal technology, and it's really working, and it's bringing MDOT-SHA into the 21st century.
And so there's a lot of new technology that MDOT-SHA is using to keep itself at the forefront of managing transportation networks. It's something, as you mentioned, that Maryland in particular is really, really good at. Are there any other interesting technologies that you're either getting ready to use now or maybe looking at to use in the future?
Well, incident management and traffic management are key things in developing just an overall watershed transportation plan here. You know, when we have the peak rush hours, we call that the peak hours, the morning and afternoon. When you have exceeded the lane, critical lane volume, meaning you can't put any more vehicles on there. Rush hour, basically.
Right.
So for every minute a lane is blocked with a disabled vehicle or a crash or something like that, it takes 4 minutes to recover. Look at that on the grand scheme.
Right.
You know, so it's important for our incident manager, our chart crews, to get out there and clear those lanes. And we also want to tell people that a couple of years ago, we got with the Maryland Insurance Administration, the Maryland State Police, and we have something called Move It. Okay, if you're involved in a minor fender bender, nobody's hurt, vehicles are drivable, you don't have to stay in that location, okay? Mm-hmm. So they have ways to figure out who's at fault and that type of thing. Get off the roadway as far as you can, exchange information there, and then, you know, get on your way. Because, again, every minute you're on that road during peak hours, it takes 4 minutes to recover. So you're talking about major recovery time if you sit out there.
And that may not sound like that much on that small of a level, 1 minute to 4 minutes, but start multiplying that and adding it up. And
something's out there for an hour, it's going to take 4 hours to fully recover during peak hour. Now, there's also something I touched on in the very beginning of our conversation this morning. Mm-hmm. I said MARWITZ, the Mobile Advanced Road Weather Information Center, and then I went right into the stationary ones we have. The stationary ones, basically, this MARWITZ is a mobile device. So it's the same technology that's on the fixed stations, the weather stations we have, but it's on 53 pieces of our equipment. Mm-hmm. What that does and how that can help, that's mobile. It's giving you real-time pavement data in motion. And as anybody knows here, you go down certain areas from 1 mile, you can vary by 1 degree, and that can be the difference between a wet road and an icy road. So we're relaying this information with that same technology that I was telling you before, mobile, to our incident managers and our storm management, and they're able to make real-time decisions. And that's not only for safety, but it also helps us gather that type of information to develop an overall transportation treatment plan for the roadways.
Right. This is for future planning as well. If you see that you have the same problem area 2-3 weather events in a row, then this is an area that we need to make sure that we prioritize as we move forward.
Yeah, that's what we are. We're a very forward-thinking agency here. A lot of people, you know, they're like, you know, you're stuck back doing the old salting days. Well, it's not just like that anymore. Our thing here is to try to get treat the roads, make them reliable, passable, and overall safe, but using less material on the roads. That's not only good for the pocketbook and the taxpayers and everything, but, you know, nobody wants to put more salt than you have to out there.
Right. And I want to talk as well about ways that listeners can get some of this information. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this on the radio, one of the ways to get it is to listen to the radio, to have whichever station you're listening to let you know some of the updates that we're getting from M.SHA, road conditions, closures, that sort of thing. But M.SHA also has some tools of their own, specifically on their website, that can get people the information that they need. Can you tell me a little bit about some of those?
I'm so glad you brought that up. The main head end to get to this, to a wide variety of different sources, is to go to our main website at roads.maryland.gov. There you can then click on that storm app. You can click on the md511.maryland.gov app, which is basically our operations center. It can give you hundreds of video cameras and any incidents. It can also, if you see something on our road, we encourage folks to report issues on the road. We don't have a million people on the roads to give us data. You see a piece of debris, you see a traffic signal that's malfunctioning, you see something like a sight distance issue with maybe some overgrown trees, anything like that on the state-numbered roads. On that road, roads.maryland.gov, there is contact us, and on there, there's our customer care management system. You know, and it would basically, you fill out this electronic form, submit it, and it goes directly to the nearest shop or office responsible for what you're asking. And like with potholes, we try to do a 24-hour turnaround time during the business days. Now, as we get into those transitional times of the year that you and I discussed before, between winter and spring, and you get that freeze-thaw cycle, sometimes we can't get to them. We have to prioritize and get the real big ones and then go back and get the smaller ones. But, I mean, we have found that this is a great tool for our customers to communicate directly with us, and we can give them hopefully sometimes instant service.
Right. And this really is just being a part of a community, realizing that, and this goes for myself as a traffic reporter as well. One of the best sources of information as to what's going on the roads are the people who are themselves using that roads.
And I always say that the public is our best eyes and ears out there. You know, we can't do it all alone. We need your help with that. So feel free to report that. Now, you know, we only maintain about 35% of the roadways. We do the state numbered roads and interstates, non-tolled. Our sister agency does the tolled facilities. But we also are responsible for 80% of the traffic. So that tells you that, you know, we really would rely on the input from our motorists out there.
Right. So, you know, again, the website, just a fantastic resource. The Storm app, Maryland 511.
Something else. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
We're getting ready. We pretty much debuted our new project page. We revamped that entire thing. And roads.maryland.gov, click on projects. You're going to be into a really cool 21st century projects page. It's GIS-based. It's going to have the road ready. Remember, you and I discussed the road ready, which shows all the active projects. Everything's going to be included on that page. And it's going to have, you know, videos and pictures and progress and any updates or milestones to keep our customers fully informed.
And this way, if you have a daily commute or if you're going on vacation somewhere, what have you, you can get that planning out of the way ahead of time and help save traffic, not just for yourself, but also for the other motorists you're sharing the roadway with. We talked about a lot today, from construction projects to snow readiness to all sorts of resources on your website. If people would like to get in contact with the Department of Transportation or State Highway Administration, what are some of the best ways to do that?
The best way is to go roads.maryland.gov and hit on contact us. They're monitored, you know, by our shops, by our different offices, or 1-800-323-6742. It's basically 1-800-MDSHA.
All right.
However that works out there.
Sounds easy enough to remember. Charlie, thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. I've been speaking with Charlie Gishler, the spokesperson for the Maryland Department of Transportation and State Highway Administration, and you've been listening to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott. Until next time, have a great day.